rulers, a righteous president, righteous Senate, righteous representatives, a righteous Supreme Court. Well, that's God's plans. It really was. We're going to come down now to the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus, Ve'elei Shemot, as it is in Hebrew. Exodus is from the Greek Septuagint, Ex Hodos, the way out. Ve'elei Shemot means on these names. Now, Moses has taken Israel out of Egypt, but they've still got Egypt in them. They're really he's having trouble with them right and left. They're complaining. They're having a wall-eyed fits, wanting to go back to Egypt, even though they would be going back to slavery. And now Moses is just worn out with them. And he's in the wilderness. This is 2 to 3 months after they have left the land of Egypt. And the 18th chapter in verse 1 says, Now Jethro. Now, you know Jethro, he had the name Jeter. He had several names. Let me read them to you here. Jethro, Reuel, Reuel means a friend of God, and Reu means friend, and Jethro or Jeter. He is a father-in-law to Moses, and he has some ideas that he wants Moses to listen to him about. He's looking at Moses and watching him and all that Moses is doing, and Moses is a class A personality and overemployed greatly. I feel like that myself sometimes, overemployment. And Jethro, the priest of Midian. And by the way, this is Abraham's descendants also. Moses' father-in-law heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people. Now the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means what? Land of red mud and canal banks, because it was the irrigated place. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Moses' wife, Zipporah. By the way, Zipporah means little bird. Little bird. After he had sent her away. And her two sons, of whom one was named Gershon, stranger, and for he said, I have been a stranger in the foreign land. And the other one was Eliezer, and that means God is help, or God is helper. For he said, God of my father was my help, and he delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Now remember, Moses escaped Egypt. He had killed an Egyptian, and according to the book of Jasher, there was a warrant out for Moses' arrest, and he was wanted dead or alive. He was going to die. So he took off, and he went into the land of Midian, and there he met these girls at a well. You know, all things happen at a well, watering hole. A well's kind of like a bar in our present days. Everybody goes to bars today, and they meet somebody. Not everybody, but a lot of people. Back then, they used to go to the watering hole. Some people called bars watering holes, the old saloons. Of course, if you go into early America, a saloon was a place where you ate, where you stayed. It was a place where they even had court. So now, Moses met his future wife at a water well. And his father Jethro came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was camped at or up against the mountain of God. The mountain of God, the mountain of Jehovah. Hahor is the word in Hebrew for mountain. Hahor, the mount of God. And he sent to Moses, word to Moses, and said, I am your father-in-law, Jethro. I am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. I'm going to bring your wife, and I'm going to bring your children and my grandchildren and her children, and I'll be there. Then Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and he kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. The tent, the meeting place. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, because of Israel, and all the hardship that he had befallen them on the journey, and how that the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. Now remember, according to the book of Jasher, that Jethro was even a counselor to Pharaoh at times, former pharaohs. And Jethro rejoiced all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, Blessed be Jehovah, who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh, and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now here we have Pharaoh at the top of the mound or the group there, the man in the big house, but also the Egyptians also had Israelite or Jewish slaves. They had to give all of these slaves up now, Pharaoh and individual Egyptians. They had to give up their rights to these people. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, indeed. It was proven when they dealt proudly against the people. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed to God. Now this is Jethro did this. Sacrificed to God, and Aaron, all right, it came with all the elders of Israel. By the way, the word Jethro, I don't know what I told you a while ago, that means preeminence. That means like the top dog. And he took burnt offerings and sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders. Now Aaron, what Aaron's today, we have a lot of people named Aaron today, but actually the translation of the word Aaron would be Frank and Francis. And he came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses, father-in-law, before God. Now, having a meal with people, it signified that you're in what you might call fellowship with them. A church has the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's Supper, and we're remembering the Lord, but the fellowship of the church, as you remember the Lord, you remember it in a fellowship of a church group. And it came about the next day that Moses sat down to judge the people, and stood about Moses from the morning until night. The people just kept on coming. He's a judge. And Moses was a righteous judge. He tried to do things just exactly what God wanted him to do. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could depend on the Supreme Court, the courts over here in Goldfield, Nevada, or in Bakersfield, California, to do the right thing, to try to do the right thing? I spend enough time in courts to know they don't try to do the right thing. Now, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that was doing for the people, he said, What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone, said his judge, and all the people stand about you from morning until evening? If you want something done right, you better do it yourself, huh? And that's an old story. If you want something done right, you better do it yourself, because you'll know it's done right. I've taken my cars and had people work on my cars. I've had people come and helped me try to build my homes and stuff like that, and nearly always I'm disappointed because I know how to do those things. Now and then I'm pleasantly pleased, but most of the time I'm disappointed. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. What does God want me to do here? Blankety blank blank blank, you know. And when they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor and make known the statutes of God and his laws. I judge by the law. There was a movie a long time ago. Joel McRae was one of my favorite actors. He was a world champion calf roper. He was quite a horseman. Him and Slim Pickens, and I met them both. Joel McRae, down in the middle of the valley here, he bought a place there years ago. This is 60, 70 years ago. He bought a place for his double here in Fish Lake Valley. He would come up here and spend time up here. But in one of the movies that he did, a stranger on horseback. What he was is a traveling circuit riding judge. And people would come in trying to bribe him and everything like that. He said, my job is to come here and try to figure out what the problems are and fix it. Well, Moses was doing his best to try to figure out the problems were and fix it. But now his father-in-law said to him, the thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out. They're going to wear you out, both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you, and you cannot do it alone. So now, we see the Sanhedrin court in the New Testament, don't we? The Sanhedrin court was made up of different groups of priests and Pharisees and Levites and whatever, and one high priest. Now, this is the origin of the Sanhedrin court, which will be the Supreme Court. Now listen to me and I will give you counsel. God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. But then teach them the statutes and the laws and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. And that's what church is to do. Churches teach us how to walk and what we're to do for the Lord. We try to preach the Word of God and preach it soundly throughout the world. He said, you teach others what the rules are and then let them enforce the rules by what you've taught them. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God. Able men. Now, what is an able man? A man that is qualified. Okay, a man that's qualified. A man is qualified and a man that fears God. Men of truth, men that are, basically, they tell the truth. They speak the truth. You know, when Indian used to meet, one Indian to go on beating in villages or whatever else, they would say one thing, truth. That's what they would say to begin with, truth. This is truth. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could go into court and we could just deal with truth and not lies, not perjury, not all the things that we have to deal with in our lives? Crooked salesmen, crooked workers, crooked people. They're all Adamic. They're all related to Adam. The Word of God keeps us straight, doesn't it? That's what's supposed to keep us straight. Now, you go down the road today, you drive out here in Nevada, and it'll say 70 miles per hour. And it's 70 miles per hour on this little two-lane road down here on Highway 264, except in a few places, where you're going to this big burg down here, the Dyer Post Office, Esmeralda Market, and it'll say 45. Now, if you speed doing 70 or 80 or 90 miles an hour through these little places, if there is a sheriff there or a deputy, they will stop you and tell you you're a bad boy. You are speeding. You're going beyond the law, and what you're doing is you're jeopardizing the safety of others by what you're doing. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, I was out in the yard here. We had a little cabin out here, and we had a wood stove in there, and I was cooking something in the wood stove. I went outside, and I saw cars going up and down the road, and I looked over here where you're leaving Fish Lake Valley, and I saw 2 cars, and 1 car passed the other one. What had happened, this guy driving an Audi passed the deputy. And the deputy was going about 65, and the guy passed him doing about 80. Well, I knew the deputy, and all of a sudden I saw these lights go off. This guy passed the deputy and sped up to 110 miles an hour. My friend Ken stopped this guy and he said, "You have just risked my life and your life and the lives of the animals out here. If it's cattle out here, somebody owns a cow. If it's wild horses or antelope or bighorn sheep or deer or elk, you can kill them and you've got a problem. Your car is going to be all beat up." Now, I said, "For me to catch you, I have to do about 130 miles an hour. You pass me up like that, and you're doing 75 miles an hour, I'm not going to give you a ticket. Most of them here, the deputies won't give you a ticket if you're doing 80. If you get up to 82, 83 miles an hour, they'll stop you. Because it's dangerous. You're going beyond safety." He stopped him and he told him, "I'm going to give you a ticket for doing 115 miles an hour," or whatever it was. Now, he said, "You can either pay me right now and sign this ticket, or I can take you over there to the courthouse, and we're going to put you in there, and you're going to go in there for reckless driving and endangering me trying to catch you and the lives of the cattle, of these cattlemen here, and you could kill a horse or a deer or an antelope or a bighorn sheep, and then we're going to have to take you in an ambulance to town. It's going to cost us money, not alone the killing of the animals." The guy was arguing with him, and he said, "Let's go to jail. You know, that's what you want to do." And he said, "No, I'll pay the fine." He said, "You're able to pay me now. I'll give you a receipt for it and all this kind of stuff, or you can go over there to court, one or the other. But you get to stay all night there free. You'll probably get breakfast. But you're behind these bars." Well, the guy surrendered and said he was wrong and apologized. That's good. But a lot of people, they go out and break laws and they try to cover it up. You go down in Los Angeles now and you'll see cars being chased by several law enforcement vehicles. They won't stop. They won't stop. I saw one here a while back that they got him into a parking lot. He got out and stole another car and was in there. They were trying to get him out of the car. He took the car and rammed the sheriff's car and stole that one and took off with that one. They chased him down. Then he stopped and stole another one. And all the time he's going and breaking into people's houses and everything else. Guess what? He was an illegal alien, and he had just got out of jail just before this for doing the same thing. Right, your problem there is an unrighteous judge. Is an unrighteous judge. Now, when Jesus was tried there by the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, there were all kinds of unrighteous judges. They should have been crucified because they broke the law. Now, he said, "Here, I want you to listen to me. I'll give you counsel. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God, and then teach them the statutes and laws. Teach these people what God wants out of them, what's right and wrong, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. You tell these righteous men. Furthermore, you select of all the people, able men, people that are capable, people that fear God, and men of truth, and those who hate dishonesty. I don't know whether you could find a courthouse like this today in many places that hate dishonesty and gain. And you shall place these over them as the leaders of thousands and hundreds and of fifties and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. And let it be that every major dispute that they will bring to you, but every minor dispute, themselves they will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. And if you do this thing, God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. All these people also will go to their place in peace. If you do this, first of all, you got to find somebody capable. You got to find somebody that hates injustice and loves honesty. You got to find somebody that will tell the truth and demand that truth only come up in the court. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moses chose able men of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, and leaders of thousands and of hundreds and fifties and tens. And they judged the people at all times the difficult dispute they would bring to Moses. But every minor dispute they themselves would judge. Moses had the last word. Then Moses bade his father-in-law farewell, and he went his way in his own land. And this is where the Septuagint, or not the Septuagint, but the Sanhedrin, the 70 people, the 72 people that judged the nation of Israel. This is where it all began right here. This is where it all began. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, which means preeminence, Jethro told him, "I believe that you should do this." And then God okayed this. He okayed it. And here we have the Sanhedrin court all the way now. This is Knesset in Jerusalem today. This is the Supreme Court. This is the Sanhedrin today. You pick out men that are righteous. You pick out men that will be righteous judges, righteous rulers of the people. You know, in history past, we've had rulers over people. And in some cases, they would take the ruler because he was a good ruler. And every year, on his birthday, they would weigh him. And they would say that he is worth his weight in gold. And they would pay him in his weight in gold as a gift on his birthday. True justice among America today, true justice, a judge that would be true would be worth his weight in gold in all reality. If you could find it. If a righteous ruler would look through the crooked lawyers and find them. I had many students in my life. And I had one that was from England years ago in my class. I've got several of them in England and Finland and all over the place. Ireland, Germany, Canada, China, Russia, India. But this one guy in my class, and at that time I was going to court and I was fighting for my daughter's safety. And there was all kinds of crooked things. They tried to do a false arrest on me. They tried to kill me. They did all kinds of nutty things. But they got by with it. Nobody went to jail. I didn't either. But they tried to kill me. And they committed perjury in court. And we would pray for that in my classes. And this one guy, he told me, you know, in the old country, that's what they call it, the old country. He said, and there in my mother country, the old country, he said, an attorney, when he takes his bar and he swears his oath of allegiance, he swears his allegiance to the crown. If somebody comes that is guilty, he will not try to make them innocent. Because that's wrong. That wrongs the crown. It wrongs the people. It wrongs everybody. Look at what we have in America today. Look what a mess we have. Corruption. Corruption. Solid corruption from A to Z. If you live in a little town where there's righteousness and where there's truth, feel real blessed. In all reality, when you go to court, you shouldn't need a lawyer. You should have a righteous judge. My grandfather, great-great-grandfather, was Sam Paul. He was a lawyer, and he was the first American Native American citizen of the United States. He was the first marshal, U.S. marshal, Indian marshal in Indian Territory in the United States. When he would go to court, the judge kept trying to hang him, Isaac Parker. He kept trying to hang him because he was an Indian and because he killed white outlaws. See, what's different when an Indian killed a white outlaw, a white man, than if he killed another Indian or a black or a Mexican or whatever? He kept trying to hang him because he killed white people. But the white people were murderers. He was a lawyer. He was a judge. And Parker tried to hang him 5 times. It didn't work. He got him. He lied to the jury and got him to go to prison for 10 years. That was his sentence, but the jury went against him. And the senators and the president of the United States gave him a full pardon. And later on, after Sam Paul was a righteous leader, as a congressman, as a senator, as he was fighting for his people's rights, Judge Parker wrote a newspaper article and said, I'm glad I didn't hang him. Because this man is a useful citizen. I'm glad I didn't hang him. Sam Paul jumped on a train and went to Fort Smith, Arkansas and says, Your Honor? He said, I'm glad you got a different idea about me now. He said, I was always trying to do the right thing. Even if I had to kill white people in my job. He said, well, I have to say that I consider you rehabilitated. All he was doing was trying to do the right thing all the time. Prejudice and perjury are a horrible thing. I've been acquainted with them. I'm American Indian. I know what perjury is and I know what prejudice is. I faced that in my life. Isn't it wonderful when we have righteous judges? Wouldn't it be nice to have a righteous president and vice president? Wouldn't it be nice to have that? You could go to bed at night and just sleep knowing that they're going to do the right thing. Always. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor, for your glory. Your plans for your people were always good plans. If we could only follow these plans, if we can only surrender to them and get others to do it also, the world would be a better place. Please use this message for your honor and glory. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.